We're going to go to Rizal Sudar, who joins us from Istanbul. And how is the Turkish government going about handling this?
Well, it is a litmus test for the government just ahead of the election. So Turkey, in less than 3 months, is going to have a general election, which is going to determine which party is going to form the majority in the parliament and also who is going to be the next president of Turkey. So in that sense, it is a litmus test for the current government and also an opportunity for the opposition in the country. So President Erdogan and his party probably is going to face the most difficult election in his political career, as already the economy in the country is not doing well. So the prices are quite high, and the inflation, the annual inflation, is around 80%. So in that sense, he's losing a popularity. However, for now, the polls show that it's 50-50. But in any way, most of the experts agree that it is going to be the most difficult election that President Erdogan is going to face through his political career. So the opposition in the country is already criticizing the government and saying that many of these buildings that have collapsed through this earthquake were old and they didn't pass the test. They are not durable, they are not sustainable, and they definitely do not have the certificate approved by the authorities regarding the test about the earthquake. So the government is already being criticized. And one of the other indicators here is that. So many of the cities that have been hit hardest in this earthquake are the Kurdish majority cities like Diyarbakir, like Urfa, and Adıyaman. So the Kurdish votes in this election are going to be quite significant in determining who is going to win. So in that sense, it is another critical task for the government. The government, on the other hand, says that it had mobilized all the means that Turkey has. So all the rescue teams are already there, the local rescue teams are there, and from the larger cities of Turkey, like Ankara and Istanbul and under the other regional centers, there have been rescue teams mobilized there, vehicles as well, aerial vehicles, including the vehicles that have been deployed. And also the municipalities, local municipalities, and the civil society. So Turkey, in that sense, the government says that we are mobilizing all the governmental and civil means to handle the situation. Now, we can say that it is a kind of race now, a competition between the government and also the opposition. They both are focusing on it and mobilizing all the means, because it's not only going to be critical for the government, but also the performance of the opposition in Turkey also is going to tell a lot. So one of the other critical parts is that how the government is going to handle the aftermath of this earthquake. So Turkey, through the time, so Turkey is not a stranger to the earthquake. It has the abilities that developed through the time because it has been hit hard in 1999 and then the recent years and so on. So almost every year in low magnitudes or high magnitudes, Turkey is used to the earthquakes. However, in Turkey, people will regard the government or its success or failure based on how it handled the aftermath of this earthquake. So will people be provided new houses? Will they be provided shelter? Will they have the conditions, humanitarian conditions, that at least they can survive while they get their new houses? So that is going to be another test, because in Turkey now it's winter. The weather conditions are quite difficult. So majority of Turkey now is under snow. And just at the beginning of this week, actually, the cold rain has hit Turkey, including Istanbul and the larger cities, but particularly the southeastern of Turkey, which has been affected most by the earthquake, is having a tough weather conditions. So in that sense, as I said, Turkey is not a stranger to the earthquakes. And through the time, it developed the abilities to handle the natural disasters. But the government has almost around 80 days, and it's going to face an important, significant election, which for many it could be it is the most critical election of 2023 in the world, and so definitely a failure will cost President Erdogan and his party dearly. But on the other hand, it's an opportunity for the opposition in Turkey as well, how they are going to conduct their campaign, how they are going to handle the aftermath of this earthquake. It's quite important for now. But that toll definitely is rising. As of now, it is 284, and there are more than 500 injured people. But as the rescue efforts are still on the way, the concerns here that the numbers, the figures, could go much, much upper and higher hour by hour.
Indeed. Thank you so much for your insight there. Thank you. That is Rissel Serda for us in Istanbul. Well, earlier we spoke with Kerim Kinnick, who is the head of the Turkish Red Crescent. He says the group is currently using all resources available.
Seven provinces affected so far, and we have 76 casualties and 440 injured people we have. And this is the S4 level disaster announced by the AFAD, Turkish Disaster Authority. It means it's international disaster, international level disaster. So the first Turkish disaster response plan activated by the AFAD, and our all capacities, shelters, food, rescue and search capacities and health capacities deployed to the affected provinces. And Turkish Red Crescent, by their branches and regional and sub-regional branches, they're supporting rescue activities at the field in seven provinces. And we deployed other shelters and food capacity from different disaster response centers from different provinces of Turkey. And we are as responsible for the blood services at Turkish Red Crescent provided needy blood to the hospitals. Then we call our citizens for blood donations in every provinces in our blood centers, because unfortunately our estimation that the casualties will be rise up, and the blood needs will be rise as well. We have coordinations crisis centers in each provinces and in headquarters Ankara as well.
That was the head of the Turkish Red Crescent, who we spoke to not long ago. And a member of the Syrian Civil Defence in the city of Salkin describes the situation there as catastrophic.
Civilian buildings have completely been destroyed due to an earthquake that hit the northwest of Syria around 4:30 in the morning. The situation is dire and catastrophic. Tens of buildings have fallen in the city of Salkin. There's a complete electrical blackout. It's really catastrophic. Everyone is on the streets. The buildings are either destroyed or barely holding here.
Well, let's speak to Zainab Khoda, who joins us now from Beirut. And Zainab, what are you hearing from your contacts in Syria? We know the death toll there is well into the hundreds now as well. What's the impact been like there?
A state of emergency has been declared, and a number of areas have also been declared disaster zones. The human toll is climbing. It's already in the hundreds. The earthquake, the epicenter was in Turkey, but many areas in Syria were affected. Many provinces, some under the control of the government, others under the control of the opposition. Syrian state media says nearly 240 people were killed in areas under the government's control. I've been speaking to the White Helmets. This is the main rescue team, a civil defense team in opposition-controlled areas. They're saying that they still don't have, a casualty toll. They're telling me the numbers in the dozens, at least 80 people. Especially in opposition-controlled areas, a lot of buildings collapsed because their structures were weak. After 10 years of civil war, many of those areas were repeatedly bombarded in airstrikes or artillery shelling. And you can see from the videos emerging from the area how really catastrophic and catastrophic that situation is. You can actually see one building collapse after the other. People are trapped underneath the rubble. And this is an area which lacks the resources. There is no state. And some civilians are helping to dig through the rubble using their bare hands. Now, also, you have the problem of hospitals, because in opposition-controlled areas, health facilities were repeatedly targeted over the course of the war, and there's also a lack of doctors. In government-controlled areas, also, they're facing another crisis, and that is a cash-strapped state which is unable to provide any services to its people. So the human toll is climbing. Widespread damage calls for international assistance to help them deal with this disaster, which really struck in the middle of the night. People were asleep. Many people were in their homes. And we have to remember something. This is going to create even more IDPs, people who have no homes. Already in that area, millions of people live in tents.
Mm. You mentioned international assistance, and that's already been pledged to Turkey. But what about Syria? Obviously, things there are much more complicated, aren't they?
Well, yes, it's a complicated situation, because the areas are really divided by front lines. In government-held territories, you do have the United Nations operating. They most likely will mobilize as much as possible. But up in the northwest, in the opposition-controlled northwest, people really rely on local NGOs, help from small organizations, as well as Turkey. Turkey really provides a lot of assistance to the people in the north, in the opposition-controlled north. And as we have been hearing, the situation in Turkey itself is a disaster. So where are these people going to receive help from? Doctors in hospitals are posting videos on YouTube saying that they need medicine and they need support. So it's a very dire situation for people who really are already on their knees after a decade of war, people who are struggling to put food on the table. And the weather conditions is really posing a challenge. As you can see behind me, the rain has stopped for a bit, but there has been a severe storm, rain, snow, affecting this whole region.
And you felt the earthquake there in Lebanon as well. Has there been any reports of damage?
Minor damage in Lebanon, but that tremor was very powerful. Just after 3 a.m., I can tell you mostly everybody woke up from that tremor, which, according to the Interior Ministry, lasted for some 40 seconds. And then there were aftershocks. A lot of people evacuated buildings. They stayed in their cars. They stayed in their streets. This is a traumatized city, I must say. Nearly 2.5 years ago, one of the biggest non-nuclear explosions destroyed and leveled neighborhoods. So it brought back memories, especially when the earth started to shake. People did not know what was going on. And people were really concerned, because this is a cash-strapped country, a bankrupt state, which is unable to deal with any disaster. No personnel, no equipment, even after that explosion back in August 2020, without international assistance, they would have not been able to remove a lot of people from underneath the rubble. So people were really concerned about this. So far, minor damage, but we know that especially up in the north of the country, a lot of the buildings risk collapse, so a lot of people are still afraid to return to their homes. So the tremor was powerful in Lebanon. Minor damage, no reports of casualties. But Syria is a different story, and as you've been mentioning, Turkey as well.
Indeed. Thank you so much for that update. That's Zana Hotta for us in Beirut. Well, Mazen Kawara is the Middle East Regional Director for the Syrian American Medical Society. He says the situation in northern Syria is dire.
It was an awful earthquake. It took a long time for us to understand what's going on. Very heavy, everything inside the office get shaking. And we used to go downstairs in in very difficult weather. Maybe you can see me sitting inside my car alongside with my family because of the instruction of the government not to go to our homes in those hours. So very heavy rain, and the 3 minutes were very, very, very awful and terrific and very difficult for us and for everyone. We are here in Turkey in a stable state, and the government doing its best to help people and to respond. But the crisis is inside Syria, unfortunately, at least in northwest Syria, it's a very, very horrific situation right now. We got initial information from our hospitals for about tens of deaths and hundreds of injured people. The hospitals, our hospitals, are overwhelmed from the number of casualties in those hospitals. Unfortunately, we used to evacuate one of our maternity hospitals because of the damage sustained because of the earthquake, and also we have at least 5 to 7 deaths in a Shifa hospital in Afrin.
Okay, well, let's bring in Kenan Akbayram from Bingöl, Turkey. He is the director for the Center for Energy, Environment and Natural Disasters at the University of Bingöl. And I know that you've been watching some of these pictures coming through. We've seen buildings pancaked and search and rescue workers frantically trying to find people. Can you explain the force that is needed to do something like this, to create so much damage over such a large area?
Actually, we are very late for that. I mean, for this earthquake, at least. We need to do the seismic risk and hazard analysis before this earthquake comes. That means we had to check the engineering structure of the soil and the engineering structure of the existing buildings. And then we needed to modified our buildings or our cities around these areas, but unfortunately we didn't do that.
Obviously this is an earthquake prone area lying on a fault line. What precautions were in place to deal with large earthquakes like this? I mean, how prepared is this region for something of this scale?
Unfortunately, this region is not prepared. I cannot say that even the Western Marmara or the Marmara region or the Aegean region is prepared. I mean, as I told you before, I mean, just seconds ago, we are just mapping the faults, and that's fine. We are just trying to understand the behavior of the faults. That's also fine, but that wasn't enough. We need to check the soil structures, our engineering structures. We had to concentrate it on those. As a geologist, I don't want to use a stupid word, but I am happy to know that we knew that this earthquake coming. But I am very sad to know that before the earthquake comes, we didn't do the preparations. We mostly focused on search and rescue, which we do very well. We are just trying to save people. We are experienced on that. But in terms of preparation-wise, unfortunately, no.
Why wasn't it done? I mean, in an area that we know is prone to large earthquakes?
There are some earthquake codes, and there are some engineering numbers. Let's say we know, not exactly, but we know partly how many Gs or the how many, let's say, PGA, we call it in engineering. It means gravity, lateral gravity will occur around the earthquake-prone regions. We knew that, but we had to check the buildings if they are just, you know, solid. If they are just, they will be ready to these kind of PGA values. We didn't do that, and that's our weakest point. That's why in every let's say earthquakes, we are just witnessing this kind of disasters.
Mm. You're talking about the building code. I mean, we're looking at some of these pictures of, you know, multiple-storey apartment buildings, pretty much pancaked flat. I mean, is the building code up to scratch there?
Well, I don't know, actually. I'm not a civil engineer, but the picture shows us that they are not suitable. They weren't just, you know, using the exact codes, or they were not built very well.
And we've seen dozens of aftershocks already in the hours since the first earthquake. Are we going to be able to expect more of those to come over the next few days?
Not only next few days, but next 2 or 3 years, there will be large aftershocks. Their intensity will drop in time. But in 2 or 3 years, we'll be waiting aftershocks.
OK, thank you so much for your time and your insight. That is Kenan Akbayram from Bingöl, Turkey, who is the director for the Centre of Energy, Environment and Natural Disasters. Thank you very much. Well, let's bring in Mehmet Selik from Istanbul. He is the editorial coordinator for Daily Sabah newspaper. Thank you very much for joining us on Al Jazeera as we continue our coverage of this earthquake. Can you explain what the government's doing right now to help those in the worst affected areas?
Well, we can easily say that the government and the whole state is literally mobilized with all the ministers to all the institutions and to all the rescue, search and rescue teams being dispatched to the region. So everything at hand is being actually mobilized, and all the efforts are underway at the moment. And knowing that the scope is very large and the region is very wide, an international call has also been made with the code for level four emergency sharing. So there's an international call as well. But with regards to what is being done immediately, all the ministers have been dispatched. Some governors have been shifted around to provide support to the regions and inexperienced governors with regards to the earthquake management. But we know that there have from other provinces, from Istanbul, Ankara, other regions, rescue teams have also been dispatched. The communications directorate have been managing the communication parts of it, the health and Red Crescent and disaster and management has been coordinating their relevant parts. So literally a whole state mobilization is currently underway as the scope is really, really large. You know, 10 provinces being affected is not something that Turkey has experienced previously, despite the fact that Turkey is one of the earthquake prone countries in the region.
Well, can you just explain a little bit about those regions, those provinces, to those of us who might not know much about them? I mean, how large are some of the cities and how remote are some of the areas?
Well, these regions are, pretty much urbanized regions in southeastern part of Turkey. They are very developed in terms of their urban areas, but rural areas, we cannot say that they are as urbanized or as developed. They're very modern cities. They are in the, they are some of the key developed regions. So with that, we can say that, the infrastructure is very strong. However, when we look at the number of collapsed buildings, we can say that the earthquake code or the safety codes with regards to buildings and constructions is unfortunately not followed in some of them, or some of these collapsed buildings were built prior to this regulation. So they are very modern cities. They're in the southeastern part of Turkey. They are some of the key populated cities in the region. They're not small cities with regards to their population, but they're very urbanized. And this urbanization, you know, creates that density in some of the urban centers. But the fact that it's a very large area makes things a little more difficult when it comes to focusing on rescue and search efforts.
Obviously, we know that this is an earthquake-prone area lying on a major fault line. I mean, looking at some of these pictures, what do you make of the building code that was in place? And do you think that it was good enough, seeing some of the images that are coming through now?
Well, you know, looking at the pictures and looking at them from far, after the things happen, it's something. But, you know, whether the inspections were done, whether these buildings were safe and they were on par with the code, it's something else. Unfortunately, it is a measure that had to be taken prior to the earthquake. And we know that, you know, this regulation has been in place following the 1999 elections, but you know, that transformation hasn't taken place with many areas that are prone to earthquakes, particularly, you know, Istanbul, for example, is one of those cities that is, you know, on the fault lines, and a major earthquake is being expected. A transformation has began, but it's not complete yet. And the same goes with many areas, you know, that are earthquake prone across the whole country.
What do you think is going to be the political impact or the fallout from this? You know, Turkey is having elections later this year.
Well, yes, elections are approaching, but this is, you know, at times like this, this is one of the good things about Turkish politics, is that politics are put aside. Despite the fact that there's an election coming, at times like this, politics are put aside and a whole state and all the parties mobilize to you know, create that sense of unity. However, after the shocks, how the government will be dealing with the damage will be one of the key determinants, I think, when it comes to the elections in May. However, it is too early to talk about politics from my perspective at this moment. And I think Turkey even has had previous earthquakes. You know, at the time of the earthquake, politics comes not at first thing that comes to mind.
We've already seen a number of countries pledge assistance and help, including the United States. What does Turkey need in the initial days and weeks after this earthquake?
Vice President Fuat Oktay was speaking earlier. He said that, you know, when it comes to transportation and some of the other needs, Turkey is very sufficient. But medical assistance, as well as rescue and search and rescue teams, are some of the, you know, helps that Turkey will need. Again, as I said earlier, the scope is very large. So having a large number of experienced and qualified teams would be, I think, critical to you know, save some lives.
Okay, thank you so much for your time. That's Mehmet Sılık from the Daily Sabah newspaper, where he is the managing editor. Thanks very much for being on Al Jazeera. Well, let's bring you the latest on this major earthquake. Here's what we know so far. A magnitude 7.8 earthquake struck the southeastern region of Bazarjik. There are casualties reported in both Turkey and Syria. At least 284 people have been killed in Turkey after the quake, which rocked the Turkish-Syrian border region. Turkey's vice president says more than 2,000 people have been injured. Fuat Oktay says Gaziantep Airport has suspended civil flights. Syrian media says about 240 people have been killed there. A state of emergency has been declared in some parts of Syria, and some places are under a disaster zone. Well, the White House has reacted to the earthquake. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says the US is profoundly concerned, adding Washington stands ready to provide assistance. He said that President Biden has directed US aid and other federal government partners to assess response options to help those affected. And the US will continue to monitor the situation in coordination with the government of Turkey. Ümmi Kulsum, Sheriff, has more on the earthquake.
The scenes that follow a powerful earthquake. rescue workers scrambling across piles of debris trying to reach survivors. The operation made harder by a winter storm.
This is the S4 level disaster announced by the AFAD, Turkish Disaster Authority. It means it's international disaster, international level disaster.
The quake struck remote areas in eastern Turkey, harder to access at the best of times. But early rescue efforts are also being hindered by bad weather. Ankara is calling for international help, with more than 10 cities affected. Neighboring Syria has also been hit hard. Casualties are mounting. The regions of Aleppo, Hama and Latakia are among the worst affected.
Civilian buildings have completely been destroyed due to an earthquake that hit the northwest of Syria around 4:30 in the morning. The situation is dire and catastrophic. Tens of buildings have fallen in the city of Salkin. There's a complete electrical blackout. It's really catastrophic. Everyone is on the streets. The buildings are either destroyed or barely holding here.
The quake was felt throughout the eastern Mediterranean, including Lebanon, Cyprus, Palestine, Israel, and as far as Egypt. Turkey sits on top of major seismic fault lines and is frequently shaken by earthquakes. Some 18,000 people were killed in quakes that hit the northwest in 1999. Umay Kulsum Sharif, Al Jazeera.